You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, our guest psychologist tells us how the concept of honor has shaped America from bar fights to international policy.
Now, immigration is playing a big role in the upcoming presidential election. The issue's been in the news, of course, for a long time. Last month, the Supreme Court announced it was deadlocked in a case concerning President Obama's executive actions on immigration, which impact more than 4 million undocumented immigrants.
Our next guest has a personal perspective on immigration. She came to the United States from Mexico as an undocumented immigrant when she was going on 10 years old. Award-winning author Reina Grande joins us now. She's in the studio with us. Her latest book is called The Distance Between Us, and she's speaking tonight in Wisconsin. Reina, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much.
Well, your latest book, it's a memoir about your experience illegally immigrating from Mexico to the United States. Now, initially, your parents left first.
Yes,
and that's then you followed. But tell us a little bit about that story, what that was like. It's not necessarily a childhood everyone has.
No, it's not. But it's a story that thousands of youth here in the U.S. share. There are many immigrant youth in the country right now. And I think for me, one of the reasons why I wrote The Distance Between Us was to show people what it's like to be a child immigrant. And in the book, I write about my experiences before coming to the U.S. because I do believe that that's part of the conversation of being an immigrant, is why we come and what happens to us even before setting foot in this country. So in the book, I start with my mother leaving, and my father left when I was two, so I didn't remember him. And to me, like in my earliest memories, he was already an absent father. But I started the book when my mother leaves, because that's really what impacted me the most, was to have to say to my mother, who was going to a country where most parents never come back from. And it was a really scary experience for me to not know if I would ever see her again. So the book opens with my mother's departure. And then I write about me and my siblings being left behind for several years under the care of my grandmother. And I try to capture the experience of those who stay behind, because I feel like sometimes when we're talking about immigration, we talk about immigrants once they're here and what they go through. But, you know, there's the story of what happens to those who are left behind, and children have that experience the most. And so I wanted to write from a child's perspective and to really show how immigration impacts the entire family, not just the ones who come, but also the ones who get left behind, and how that separation can have some really, you know, deep consequences in a family. And for me, like, you know, once I write about that experience of separation, and then when my family was reunited and I came to the country to be reunited with my parents, our relationship was never the same after that.
Well, so much to talk about there, but I want to pick up on something you said a little earlier. You said you wanted people to know why people came in the first place, what the conditions were like and what the factors were that's a big move to separate parents and children. And yet there are factors there that drove your family and thousands of others to do that. So what was it for you?
Well, my family, the cause for immigration was extreme poverty. We are from the state of Guerrero in Mexico, which is the second poorest state in Mexico, and 70% of the population lives in poverty. And my father was a bricklayer, and there were no jobs, so he didn't really have a way to take care of us and feed the family. And he also had a dream of being able to build us a brick house. And, you know, we lived in a little shack made of sticks and cardboard with no running water and no electricity. So he set out to the U.S. with the dream of being able to make enough money so that he could build us a house in Mexico. And he wasn't planning on staying here. I think most immigrants don't plan on staying. They come with a dream of making money so they could go back home and make something of themselves. But, you know, things change, and the economy in Mexico did not get any better. It got worse, and the country was in a recession, and the peso continued to be devalued. So then instead of being able to go back, my father was not able to, and he ended up sending for my mother so that she could come and help him work. And then eventually he went back and brought us here. And at the time, my father was undocumented, so the only way to bring us across was to smuggle us across the border. But that's the reason why we came. It was escaping the poverty and the lack of opportunities in my country. But, you know, there's so many other reasons why people migrate. But in the end, migration is forced on people. Most of the time, they do it because they have to. It's an act of survival. And, yeah, that you know, they might be escaping poverty, but they might be escaping violence and war and climate change and so many other things that go into play. But it's important to always ask ourselves, you know, what are we doing that's causing people to have to leave everything behind to go and try to survive elsewhere?
We're talking with Reina Grande right now. She's an award-winning author. Her latest book is called The Distance Between Us, and she's speaking tonight in Dane County at Centro Hispano. And Reina, you said your relationship with your parents, once you had that period of separation when they came over to the United States and you were behind in Mexico with your siblings, that things were never the same, even when they were reunited. And that's a big part of what your book is about, what that period of separation is like, what it does to families. So what was it like? Well, when you were waiting and you were in this long period of just not knowing what was going to happen.
Yeah, and the distance between us, that's why I called it the distance between us, because there's so many distances that I talk about. And the first one, of course, is the physical distance, you know, that they were 2,000 miles away from me. And for me, it was very hard to be separated from my parents because, you know, as a child, you don't understand that they left because there were no jobs, because of the money, because of the lack of opportunities. What I understood as a child was that my parents had left because they hadn't loved me enough to stay with me. And that really impacted my self-esteem, you know, and how I saw myself, that I felt I was not loved enough. And it took me a long time to realize that it was because they loved me too much. And that's why they had left. So it impacted my self-esteem. And also there was a lot of fear. Like I was afraid that they would never come back because they would forget about me. I was afraid that something might happen to them while they were working here that would prevent them to come back. Or I was afraid of being replaced by American-born children. And sure enough, a few months after my mother got here, she called us and said she was going to have a baby. And the first thing that came out of our mouths was, they're replacing us already. So growing up with that, you know, it's a lot. And those are things that one of the things that really helped me writing the book was to kind of try to understand, you know, why all those things happen and try to come to terms with many of that heartbreak. But it definitely impacts families and it creates, you know, it creates a very strange dynamic within the family. And once we were reunited, it was very difficult for us to pick up the pieces and put the family back together because things had changed and I hadn't seen my father in 8 years. You know, he was a complete stranger to me when I first met him, and we had grown up and he also struggled to connect the 10-year-old with the 2-year-old he had left behind. And then, so there were, you know, some complications there of me. I had spent 8 years idolizing my parents and they had become bigger than life and I had put them up on a pedestal. And then once I was reunited with them, they turned out to be human beings with other flaws. And so that was very difficult for us.
Now, as you watch the battle over immigration unfolding in this country in the courts with President Obama's immigration law, and you just told us your story, what you went through and how you're still kind of working it out as a writer, what do you wish lawmakers and some of the general public knew about what the experience of immigration is like for families and what's at stake?
Yeah, well, I mean, I would really like for everyone to acknowledge our humanity. You know, a lot of times I feel that the discussion about immigrants leaves out the fact that we're human beings and we're talked about in terms of numbers and statistics. And really just remembering, you know, that we're human beings, and also keeping in mind, you know, that there were so many things that went into the decision to immigrate that, like I said earlier, you know, a lot of times it is an act of survival, and people are willing to risk their lives, and there's a reason why they're willing to risk their lives to come here. So just to remember that and to be able to talk about immigrants in a more compassionate way and to be understanding of who we are, and also, you know, to keep in mind that our actions or inactions, you know, especially right now that we haven't had immigration reform, that we are keeping people from being able to reach their dreams and to be able to live their lives. And we're basically forcing people to put their lives on hold and to remain in the shadows and to live in fear, and to not be able to look towards the future with hope, because we're keeping them from that by not giving them the opportunities that they need to get ahead. And especially, you know, I want to speak for our immigrant youth, especially because they are the future of this country, whether we want to accept it or not. And we need to be able to give them those opportunities that they need so that they can reach their full potential and so that they can use their talents and their passions and their skills to contribute and to give back to this society.
You mentioned dreams. I have to ask, did you ever get that brick house that your father wanted to build?
We did get the brick house, and by the time it got built, there was no one left to live there. Mm. So that was one of the biggest ironies for me, you know, that it took my parents 8 years to build it, and we never lived there because things never got better in Mexico, and that's why we ended up coming here. But I am very grateful, you know, for my father to take that initiative to leave, because he's the reason why I ended up, you know, becoming the first in my family to graduate from college. Now I have an MFA, and my parents didn't even finish elementary school. And now I'm a published writer, and I've been able to pursue my dreams and to develop my skills and my talent so that I can become a contributing member of this society. And then I'm still able to give back everything that I got, that I can give back.
You're speaking tonight at, is it 5:30?
Yes, at 5:30 tonight, I'm speaking at Centro Hispano. And this is a fundraiser event for Centro Hispano, which is an organization that helps the immigrant community.
Reina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Reina Grande, award-winning author. Her latest book is called The Distance Between Us.
The event tonight is being recorded. It'll air on Wisconsin Public Television's University Place. Coming up after the news, we talk about honor in America and how it impacts everything from politics to sports to our daily lives. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time.